You know, this is not a one-size-fits-all offense. I do my best to tailor it to the talent of who we have, and that's starting with the offensive line. I build in, and then I work out.
In this episode of Coaching Coordinator Podcast, offensive coordinator Fran Johnson from Texas Wesleyan University joins us to dive into the crucial aspects of commitment, consistency, and preparation in coaching. Coach Johnson shares his insights from nearly 20 years of experience in the profession, emphasizing the value of loyalty to a program and the significance of building a strong relationship with players, coaches, and staff. Additionally, he provides a detailed look into his offensive strategies and the tools he uses, such as First Down Playbook, to enhance teaching and player development. Be sure to check out First Down Playbook, a tool that'll help you build your playbook and program. The link is in the show notes. What you see on tape is a direct reflection of what you teach and how you teach. Video is important, but if you don't teach well, you're not going to like what you see on your video. First Down Playbook has been helping coaches teach better for 13 years. It allows you to present installs, playbooks, and practice cards in half the time with NFL quality. Coaching tools like video pairing, a player app, practice schedules, and wristband sheets have made First Down Playbook a program management system with everything in one place. If you're in a position of leadership with your football program, receive a free one-week look at First Down Playbook. Call them at 512-814-6158 or visit them on their website or social media. Mention Coach and Coordinator Podcast or use the coupon code COACH24 to receive a $100 discount off the normal $700 First Down Playbook team membership price. Links and the phone number are in the show notes. Today on the Coaching Coordinator Podcast, we're going to talk about commitment, consistency, and preparation. And joining me to dig into those topics is the offensive coordinator at Texas Wesleyan, Fran Johnson. Coach, great to have you here today on the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Keith. I really appreciate being here.
Coach, I mentioned three things that we're going to dig into, and the first word I mentioned was commitment. And you've been in this for almost 20 years, but you've only been at two places. And the commitment part, the loyalty part, I mean, you see a lot today of guys jumping around. I don't know if it's impatience, it's looking for the grass is greener, the new opportunity. So it's rare to see guys stay at places a long time, but for you, it has been exactly that.
Yeah, I've been doing this for close to 20 years. Started out at Benedictine College as a player, transitioned into a coach. I coached there for 16 years under Larry Wilcox. And, you know, Larry's really the one that taught me about commitment and loyalty to a program, to people. And so I've just kind of adopted that model. And, you know, I left Benedictine after 16 years, and now I'm here at Texas Wesleyan University in Fort Worth, going on my fourth year, and I have no plans of leaving at this point in time. I've really enjoyed being here, the relationships I developed with the coaches, but more importantly, also the players as well. So, yeah, commitment and loyalty are sort of a big deal to me in a world of, you know, coaching carousel for one reason or another.
There's some advantages to that commitment, too. When you go into that job with that attitude of being committed to a place, in some ways, I think it smooths the pathway for you in your own growth, right? You came to Benedictine after playing quarterback there as a graduate assistant, and, you know, you grew from there into your various positions that you served in, and then, you know, a new opportunity presented itself. And I think I heard a coach talk about this recently on the podcast. Like, sometimes we get caught up with what we see in social media or on the news, and, you know, these guys who have this tremendous ascent to some of the highest levels at very young ages. But the truth is, you know, there's thousands and thousands and thousands of us, and those are outliers. It just doesn't happen that way most of the time.
Right. You know, and I think the biggest thing is this is about building relationships with people. And it doesn't matter what level you're at. If you're at the highest level in college football, the high school level, whatever the deal is, this is about building relationships. And when coaches, faculty, administration, the school, the parents, the players, they know that you're committed for the long haul with that institution, with that program, that's something that they can invest in and feel secure in. It's hard on everybody when coaches are there for 2-3 years, whatever it is, and then gone, and they're going through a coaching carousel, as I said. You know, early on in Texas Wesleyan's early years, when it was brought back, they had a little bit of that. So there was a lot of lack of consistency, I guess you could say, you know, within the coaching staff that affected the players. And I think that's part of the big turnaround, is that, you know, we're in a situation now where these coaches are committed to staying here at Texas Wesleyan, building this program, but more importantly, pouring in and investing in these student athletes and families that are here to show them that we truly care about them as people.
I think there's something important you bring up there too, that consistency of being at a place for some time, is that you do get to know people outside of the football program, outside of athletics. And it's important at a college to be able to do that, to know who are the people sitting in admissions. Where are they at? What are they looking for in their jobs and what they're assigned to do? And how does that mesh with yours? And what can you do to figure out some synergy there? You know, the professors who work with your student athletes and developing those relationships with them, that, you know, you're able to, it helps you build that relationship with your player further. You start to hear about them in a different light than what you see them on the football field as you get to know professors and they work with different athletes of yours as well. I mean, I had a similar experience at Baldwin Wallace University. I was a grad, went back there after coaching at the high school level and coached at the college level there for 5 years. And it was just an unbelievable experience. And a lot of it, though, were the relationships outside of football.
Yeah, sure. I mean, the thing is, whether you're part of the football program, you're part of admissions, you're part of financial aid, you're a professor, you're the president of the college, you're the athletic director, whatever that might be, we're all in this together for the same reason. And that is for these kids to graduate with a degree so that they, one, can be successful in life as a man, as a woman, as a husband, as a wife, as a father, as a mother, whatever that situation may be. You know, we're all in this together. The other thing is you want them to represent your institution well in the real world. When you're in lockstep with other departments across the campus, it makes it a little bit easier to get kids to buy into those things. And it makes it, you know, you develop a strong community within the campus. The other thing is, if you're constantly, you know, rotating coaches through, you know, head coaches, coordinators, position coaches, whatever that looks like, not everybody has that same mindset. You know, they have a different way of doing things. They have a different mindset for how they want things done. And they may not look at that as, I'm trying to build a community on campus. Whereas right now, where that's the situation we're in. And so these student athletes feel comfortable with what we're doing. And you're able to build those strong relationships across the campus. Again, because it takes a village, as you know, to grow and mature young men and young women into the people that they're supposed to be.
Consistency obviously being a theme here, and one of the things for you as an offensive coordinator is consistently performing offense, one of the tops in NAIA. Since 2017, your offense is ranked 10th at 40.5 points per game and 21st in yards at 422.5 yards per game. Both great earmarks of a successful offense, the points and the yardage. And, you know, when you look at those, you would say, well, this guy must be a spread guy, throwing it all over the place, because those are typically the kind of numbers you see, but that's not exactly you. Talk to us about your offense, and first of all, what does your offense look like?
Sure. You know, I've been very fortunate to learn from Larry Wilcox over at Benedictine College under him in terms of offensive schemes, philosophies, and things like that, and that's kind of where this all started at. And over the last 7-8 years, I've been able to maintain those principles of the offense that I learned, but also be able to tweak it to the athletes that I have. And I think that's the biggest thing is, one, you know, this is not a one-size-fits-all offense. I do my best to tailor it to the talents of who we have, and that's starting with the offensive line. I build in and then I work out. And the other thing is, we are a run-first offense. We're going to establish the run. I am a gap scheme run offense by trade. I like the base out of 11 and 12 if possible. And so with that being said, we're going to establish a run. We're going to build around the offensive line. The thing that the tight end does for us in this day and age of football, because so many teams are spread, so many teams are air raid, is that the tight end really forces the defense, I believe, to decide if they're going to plus one the box or if they're going to play a little bit more coverage. You know, and so from that standpoint, that gives us a little bit more leeway on what we want to do. We're going to figure out what the weakness is and we're going to do our best to exploit the weakness. And because of that philosophy and keeping it simple and building it from there, you know, I've been very fortunate to have the right players in place to have those offensive numbers over the last 7-8 years.
And that kind of a framework and looking at being, you know, 11, 22, some things in between, obviously tight ends, multiple tight ends on the field, fullback in the game at some points. Today's defenses definitely have been built for more of the spread type of offense. There was a change that was needed. And you look at a couple decades ago, I think this started to happen. And for a while, especially when you look at the small college and high school level, it got into a 10 personnel world. It was hard to find tight ends and fullbacks. I know every single one we had at BW was converted from another position. We just didn't find them in recruiting. But at the same time, I felt there were some advantages for us in being able to go against some defenses that, you know, were, I think the best way to describe it is more of a nickel-based defense. Have you found that true yourself? And I guess the other thing would be, I know we're kind of getting back in the pendulum swinging the other way. We are starting to see more of what you're doing on the offensive side of the ball.
Football is a funny game. It's pretty amazing to see sort of the innovation that people come up with, you know, offense, defense, and in some ways it seems like reinvent the wheel. But with that being said, like you mentioned, history seems to repeat itself. And now you're starting to see more of, even in the NFL, you're starting to see a lot more 21 personnel. You know, that's a little bit different monster because they got some guys that can play fullback, but that can also split out and be an effective receiver. Unfortunately, we don't have that luxury. And so it's a little bit difficult to recruit tight ends because the game is starting to go back to that. Because any tight end that is, you know, halfway decent, if you will, in terms of evaluations and recruiting, a lot of the Division IIs, some lower Division Ones, you know, are snatching those kids up. And so kind of the model that we've gone to is, yes, we're going to try to recruit tight ends and take our shot on those kids. But also, if we find a big receiver that maybe doesn't have the speed to play receiver, we'll move him inside, work him at tight end, teach him how to play that position. And now you got a little bit of a mismatch nightmare for defenses because now you got a fast tight end who used to be a slow receiver. And so you are starting to see defenses start to migrate towards finding ways to get people in the box by disguising coverages. Because what I found when I got here with this offense and early on, where people were still learning it and getting used to it, is that we're getting a lot of man coverage. We're getting a lot of one-on-one opportunities, and we had some guys that could take advantage of that. And now, you know, defenses are getting a little bit crafty of showing us one thing, but, you know, as the snaps occur and starting to rotate down, maintain their zone, and putting a guy that can either play the run or, you know, zone and cover and be in pass coverage. So we have our work cut out for us in our recruiting, how we attack defenses now because of the adaptations that they are making moving forward.
As coaches, we know that some of the biggest hurdles to our team's success can come from off the field. Your team needs support to tackle the endless list of expenses, uniforms, training equipment, travel, and more. But raising that money can feel like a full-time job. Thankfully, there's Vertical Raise. Vertical Raise is the premier online fundraising platform using innovative technology to create the easiest and most efficient system available. Raise more money in less time with a local fundraising coach who works with your team every step of the way to customize the ideal fundraiser. With options for online donations, digital discount cards, premium product sales, and even spirit shops, Vertical Raise has top-of-the-line solutions for every fundraising style. To find out more, visit verticalraise.com and we'll get you connected with an exclusive offer on your first fundraiser. I've always been interested in the use of technology to make our jobs more effective, so I'm excited to continue sharing modern football technology with you here on the podcast. This innovative system leverages tendencies to improve self-scouting, game planning, and in-game decision-making at the speed of the game. Modern football stands out because it's a battle-tested platform used by teams at all levels, like four-time national champion Bishop Gorman, the five-time California State champion Folsom Bulldogs, six-time Texas State champion Lake Travis, Cal football, and the CFL's Grey Cup champions, the Montreal Alouettes. So book a demo today to see why these teams trust Modern Football Technology. Visit www.teammofo.com/demo and mention Coach and Coordinator Podcast or use the coupon code CC10 to receive 10% off your first year. We're faced with those same things. I think we had the same situation. A lot of our guys were the bigger receivers, or we seem to be recruiting quite a bit of guys who were quarterbacks at the high school level, just great athletes, some of them a little bit bigger than others, and, you know, still wanting to run the quarterback some, didn't necessarily fit in those positions, and we were able to convince them that, you know, it was good for their playing time if they looked at, you know, becoming a fullback and a tight end. The last two fullbacks we had were quarterbacks in high school, and the one, you know, in his lifetime till college had never blocked anybody, right? So, but became very effective in that position. And I think a lot of this goes to teaching. I mean, whether a guy's played it or not, to get to your level, everything's, you know, different. It's all in how you teach the game. And I know you have some favorite tools for how you teach the game as well. Would love to talk about your approach to, especially, you know, this group, some of them who haven't played the position before, teaching these guys.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, you know, 3 years ago, we partnered with First Down Playbook. First Down Playbook has been a great tool for us and resource to be able to streamline the teaching of each position, plays, whatever you want to call it, terminology. And so our guys now, instead of having, you know, a hard copy playbook, which in some cases has its plays, you know, our guys now have an app, they have a computer where they can just get online and they can get on at their own time and be able to study up on, you know, whatever the future install is or things that we already installed to get a little bit of review in. And so First Down Playbook has been great for us, and they are constantly evolving to make that platform better. Now they're in a situation where they are able to attach huddle clips, if you will, to certain plays. When you're teaching in your position meeting or whatever that looks like, you know, or they're at home and looking at it on their own, they can look at that play, but then they can also click on the 5 or 6 clips that you have to be able to look at that. And so that's been vital for us in our teaching because it's accelerated the teaching. It's accelerated the learning of our guys. So you get a guy that played receiver in high school, like as I mentioned earlier, you know, he comes to us, he's a bigger body, he's a slow receiver. You stick him in at the tight end spot, and now he's able to learn much quicker because of First Down Playbook, so that when he gets to our meetings, what he's hearing is not foreign. And that's kind of the unique thing about this deal, because in my offense, the tight end is the linchpin in the offense. The tight end is the one that has to make a lot of the checks, a lot of the calls based on run, pass, and what technique he's facing versus odd, even front. All that has to be digested in a matter of about two or three seconds. He has to make a call, and that speaks to everybody in the box, the offensive line, the backs and the quarterback and other tight ends if they're on the field about what their responsibility is. So that's a really big deal for us that has really helped our guys accelerate their learning and adjusting to this game.
I love when you can find a tool that is going to be good for you all year long. I think back to, you know, my playbooks were PowerPoint, and we use them heavily during the install. And then once we get to the season and we were game planning and maybe presenting some different things here and there, you know, those kind of got set aside. Guys weren't really looking at the whole playbook like they were during the install. And now things became more specific, and we would use different drawing tools to try to be efficient with that. What I like about First Down Playbook is this really is your hub for everything throughout the season, that you can then go and take all kinds of simple features within First Down Playbook to create those weekly game plans where, you know, there is that efficiency, there's that workflow, that this isn't taking you a lot of time to take something from your playbook and tweak it for what you might be seeing that week.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and that's kind of the nice thing about First Down Playbook and it being an online platform versus, like you mentioned, more of a PowerPoint or, you know, a hard copy deal. First Down Playbook is such a beautiful thing because as we go week to week or from year to year, whatever the deal is, I can keep what we used to do, if you will, and not discard that, and then be able to go in, copy that play, make a very minor tweak, and it's very seamless, and, you know, alert the guys that, hey, there's this is what we are now doing with this play or versus this front or versus this technique or versus this coverage, whatever it might be. You can work in notes on the actual play itself. They got a note section. They got a lot of offense coordinators put together sort of a responsibility section, for each player, whatever that deal is. And so you're not having to get rid of an entire page and start from scratch. You can go in, you can copy, you can adjust. It's seamless. It's easy. And you're able to communicate effectively and efficiently with your players with being able to do that. And that's kind of the beautiful thing about First Down Playbook is I have an archive, if you will, of things that we have done that we maybe no longer do because we've changed it, we've tweaked it, we've adjusted it, whatever it is, and that's now the new way that we do it. So, like I said, this game repeats itself. History repeats itself. The stuff that's archived in my rear its ugly head at some point in time, but I can just go back in, I can pull that out, I can put it up, and we're ready to go. So that's really the nice thing about First Down Playbook.
Charlie does such a good job. He's been on the podcast multiple times. You got a former NFL coach who's put together the app. So, this is designed by somebody who gets it, who understands coaching, not some tech guy who's trying to, understand what a football coach does. I know I shared this with a former player of mine who's a high school coach now. He was an intern for us after he played quarterback. He actually was an offensive coordinator at the D3 level, head coach now at the high school level. And I said, hey, you got to talk to Charlie. He was looking to do more in sharing their playbook throughout their program, but it wasn't necessarily as efficient for them to get it down to the lower levels. I'm like, First Down Playbook, man, that will allow you to do it and get as many coaches on it as you need. And it was a long week. I think it was like President's Day weekend. He calls me up and says, Coach, I don't know why everybody's not using this. I'm drawing up playbooks all weekend long. So like he was that excited about it. I've seen it for a long time and have been really impressed with how Charlie has progressed it to something that is a tool for building your program. Think about the high school level, guys, like I said, like Lucas, who wanted to make sure that his junior high coaches were getting some version of it, that you're able to share what you want in different playbooks and different game plans every week. And I think that's a huge advantage of a tool like that. And then, as you mentioned, the player app side too, right? We know where players want to be. They don't necessarily want to be on their laptops all the time if they're not in class. They definitely, you don't see them carrying around binders like we used to. You got to get it on their phone for them.
Yeah, this is a crazy day and age, if you will, and it's been that way for a while where, the current student athlete learns best on their phone. That's a blessing and a curse, I suppose, but it is what it is. And so that's the way that you have to meet them. You have to meet them with technology. That's how they learn. That's how they adapt. And so that player-friendly app has really made it, even better for us to be able to coach and teach. You talked about, your former player and drawing a playbook all weekend long. That's kind of the nice thing about First Down Playbook. When you first get started, it's going to take you some time and effort to put together sort of, your foundation and what you want. But once you get that in, then everything else is much easier. It's very seamless to put together, practice scripts or, game plans or, things of that nature. I even got a couple of coaches on my office staff right now that have, started actually working on their own offensive playbook, because I know they have aspirations of being an offensive coordinator one day. So you have those capabilities within First Down Playbook, and whatever you put into First Down Playbook, that's what you're going to get out of. It can be as bare bones as you want it to be simple. It can be as detailed as you want it to be. It's whatever you want to get out of it. That's what you're able to do. And that's sort of the unique thing about this platform. It's easy to navigate. You can make it as detailed as you want, and it's not cumbersome for you at all. There's a lot of other ones out there that I'm not going to speak to right now that it's a lot more difficult to do what First Down Playbook has made easy.
Yeah, I agree with that. And you also have years. When I first met Charlie, all he was doing with the app was drawing plays, right? Like the database he's put together of plays is amazing. So when you're like your guys who are coordinators starting to design their own playbook, you do have NFL level drawings you could start with. You don't have to start from scratch. And I think that's the cool thing. When you think about this, you always have to be preparing for what's next in the profession for you. And, you know, there's some disadvantages in other tools that those things you do and design within the program software, they're staying there, right? There's no way necessarily to get those out. And the way that Charlie designed it is with that in mind. Again, he's a coach. He understands, like, guys need to be able to take along what they've designed. So everybody has their personal playbook then that they can migrate things into the team playbook.
Yeah, absolutely. You talked about being prepared for things. And, you know, first of all, first down playbook allows you to do that. Like I said, I got a couple guys that are kind of building their own philosophy, if you will, just really kind of nuts and bolts and plays. But anyway, you know, I learned that a long time ago that, because if you go back to the beginning of this conversation, we talked about commitment and loyalty. We are currently in a profession that for a long time, it's more about how many stops have you been at? You know, I'm at this school for 3 years. I'm at this school for 2 years or whatever the deal is. And you're moving on. You know, the thing with that and what I've learned is that you have to be prepared and ready for the next job before you even know the next job is available. What I mean by that is that, you know, if your aspirations are to be a coordinator, you have your philosophy in place. You know, as a coordinator, whether it be offense, defense, special teams, whatever you're looking at, you know, your philosophy and how you're going to manage people, how you're going to manage coaches, how you're going to manage players, how are you going to engage and work with other inter-campus departments. You got to have all that stuff put together, ready to go. So when that job's available, you know, you are able to be ready for that next job, you know. And like I said, I learned that a long time ago. And whatever your philosophy is in terms of how you work with people, because, again, this is a relationship-based profession, in my opinion, you have to be that person. You have to match. Your actions have to match your philosophy and how you're going to engage, how you're going to coach, how you're going to teach, how you're going to run things. That all has to be compiled, ready to go for a job that you don't know is available. Like I said, I learned that a long time ago.
So thinking back to as you were coming up as a coach, and this is at Benedictine where you also played, so you were used to really one world, one way of doing things being done. How were you sure to, I guess, expand outside those horizons and bring in some other perspectives as you were, you know, developing your next steps in the profession?
I feel truly blessed to have played at Benedictine, to have coached as long as I did at Benedictine. Like I said, under Larry Wilcox, along with Charlie Gartmeyer, who was with Larry Wilcox for the time that he was there, which was 40 plus years, they taught me about commitment and loyalty. And, you know, we had our ways of doing things at Benedictine. But Larry also made it very abundantly clear to us that not everybody does it the way that we do it, that everybody has their own take on how they handle the things that we do in their own way. And so I was able to take what I learned from Benedictine under Larry and apply that again to who I am as a coach, what my philosophy is, what my foundation is, and be able to integrate that into, you know, something new. Like when I got here to Texas Wesleyan, you know, there was a lot of things that in my philosophy and what I believe that aligned well with me, but they do things differently. And that's okay because they're still effective. They still produce wins. They still help kids graduate. It's a different method. And so I've been able to mesh the two together, in my own opinion, to be able to be in lockstep with the coaches here, the program here, the vision here with this program and what we're trying to accomplish. And so, you know, you're able to take a little bit of that, make it your own, and then, you know, be able to perfect, if you will, the best of your ability, again, your philosophy in whatever aspect of coaching it is. And so that's really helped me out a lot as I've had to adjust over the last 4 years.
Well, Coach, I appreciate you giving us a peek into what you do, your offense, philosophy on commitment, consistency, and obviously some of the tools and the teaching that you do. Certainly, we'll be following you guys, and best of luck to you and the Rams in 2024.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for this time. I really appreciate it. And hopefully I've been able to help someone somewhere along the way. So I appreciate the time.
Here are Winning Edge takeaways and ideas for implementation. 1, focus on commitment and loyalty as a coach. In what you do, emphasize the importance of commitment and loyalty to both your program, your coaching staff, players, and the institution. Building long-term relationships and staying dedicated can lead to stability, trust, and success within your team or program. 2, take consistency in your coaching approach. Develop a coaching philosophy that's adaptable yet consistent, focusing on building strong relationships with player staff and other departments within the institution. Consistency in your coaching style and approach can lead to better understanding, trust, and teamwork among the stakeholders you work with. And 3, utilize technology for teaching. Incorporate technology tools like First Down Playbook to streamline teaching, communication, and preparation. By utilizing tools that are player-friendly and efficient, you can enhance your teaching methods, accelerate learning, and prepare your players effectively for the challenges they face in games. Learn more about our partner, First Down Playbook. First Down Playbook is a coaching tool and program management system with over 35,000 customizable plays, defenses, and special team schemes with tools such as video pairing, practice schedules, wristband creation, practice scripts, scouting reports, and a player app. First Down Playbook helps save time and organize your program all in one place. Schedule a 15-minute Zoom call with Charlie Coyner, former NFL coach, or call him at 512-814-6158 to receive a 1-week free trial. And use the coupon code COACH24 to receive a $100 discount on your team membership. Follow all we're doing at coachingcoordinator.com. Sign up there for our weekly newsletter and follow us on X at Coach K Grabowski.